This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my hard-earned freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
Good evening, everybody. We hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and we hope that you'll join us tonight in our conversation. You can always reach out by calling or texting 312-981-7200. And we've about 6 hours of show packed into 2 hours. Usually we have just enough for the whole 3 hours, but then the Blackhawks had to play and have an amazing win.
We definitely have a jam-packed show. This is going to be quite a bit, and we'll see if we actually get through it. Last time, I think we missed like two topics.
I think so. That's why I have a segment called What We Meant to Get To that I save up all the stories that we don't do. You and I will do that one night.
Oh, that'll be nice. So are we going to switch it with Tell Me Something Good?
Exactly.
I like that one.
Yeah. Only once in a while. I only do that once in a while.
I guess.
But let's make sure we get to exactly what we meant to get to, which is Blake Martin, who joined us in studio. I want to welcome you. And it's been a pleasure just hanging out with you in the last few moments. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. You grew up in Chicago or in the Chicagoland area?
In the suburbs, Chicago Heights.
Chicago Heights.
Yes.
And I was reading your information, and this is the first thing you and I talked about, mm-hmm. was that you were the first male cheerleader at your high school.
I was.
And I love that because I grew up with somebody who was the only male cheerleader in my high school. What drew you to cheerleading in the first place?
I started off as a dancer. Mm-hmm. Dance was my life for my middle school, early high school years. And one day, they were looking for cheerleaders and something just drew me to it.
Yeah.
And I went into the sport saying, I'll see what this is about, but I'm probably not going to like it. And the very first day I was like, this is home. And I loved it. I loved it.
Have you had moments like that since where you're like, oh, like creating your company, Blake Martin Productions? Yeah.
Yes. And so I'm a creature of... my mind can only tackle one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was doing dance and I went into cheerleading, I kind of didn't go back to dance. Cheer became my life. After cheerleading, I went back to dance. But when I found fashion, I then never went back to dance. I'm kind of one of those people, like, I fall in love. Mm-hmm. This is home. This is it for me.
And so fashion is kind of an extension of that creativity of, mm-hmm. you know, cheering for expression when it comes to how we present ourselves,
yes.
isn't it?
It is. And I think, you know, I'm a firm believer that God does everything for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And in high school, I was captain of the cheer team, captain of the dance team. And so I always say that those years are pivotal in teaching me how to be a leader, how to command attention, how to wrangle a group of people and get them to do what I need them to do. Because all of those things I learned in high school really teach me how to own a company today.
How do you wrangle people to do things you want them to do? Is it through by example, through leadership, through... What are some of the techniques that you use?
One, I think the thing about being a leader is you lead in the pit. So I have different rules and different things that I have all my employees follow.
Uh-huh.
But one of the things that I'm keen on is whatever they are following, I also follow.
Right.
So being in the pit with them and them knowing this is not about just you doing it, it's all of us. Being confident in what you say and what you speak and letting them know this is what I want. People are more inclined to follow you if you feel confident in what you're doing. And I think the main thing is proving yourself with the results. We will follow any good leader who has proven the results are good enough.
And when you are creating an event, is there a way that you approach it, or does it change every single time? Do you have a set way of, okay, this is what I want to, you know, whether a client hires you or it's mm-hmm. something you want to do for yourself,
mm-hmm.
what are some of the steps that you take?
The very first thing, it's crazy because I'm not a musician. I don't have a love for music, mm-hmm. but everything that I do starts with music.
Wait a minute, hold on. When you say you don't have a love for music, or you mean you don't have...
Music is not one of those things. Like, I'm not a musician. I'm not engulfed in music and instruments. Music is not my thing.
Right.
However,
okay.
music is where I start,
right.
crazy enough. So
okay.
when I'm starting a fashion show... the first thing I have to do before I have a venue, before I have models, I need, what's the opening song going to be?
Okay.
The show's a year and a half away, but I need the opening song. Once I hear the opening song, everything else comes to my brain. What the venue looks like, what the people are wearing, what the lights look like. I need the song first, and then everything else just kind of opens up in my brain.
The reason I asked you about when you say I don't love music, because I love music, mm-hmm. but I don't know music.
And that may be a better way.
So Ro knows this. We have a segment called Patty's Appalling Lack of Musical Knowledge.
Okay.
So I like music. I don't know who sings it.
Right.
I don't know the lyrics. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's one. What's the one? I was I'll Be Your Pizza Burning, and apparently it's I'll Be Your Beast of Burden by the Rolling Stones. And
oh, wow.
I thought those were the words, but I can feel it, and yeah. I agree with you. And so there's a part of you that can, in sensory, you know, words, I guess, mm-hmm. like it sort of creates this world for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it opens up my brain, and yeah. I can do nothing without the music. And when I'm planning, that's my meditation space.
Okay.
So if I'm going into a rehearsal or a client meeting, I'll tell everyone I need at least 20 minutes. My earphones, don't bother me. I need to listen to this song to just get me prepared for how I'm going to tackle this day.
Now, you told me that you're casting next month
yes.
for an event. What are you casting for?
Well, I have two shows coming up. One of the newest models to my company, but one who's become one of my favorites. His name is Harper. Mm-hmm. He's 6 years old, one of the most amazing models I've ever met in my life. He commands the runway like an adult. We are doing a battle show, kids versus adults. So Chicago calls me, I guess, the king of production, and they call him Prince of the Runway.
Nice.
So it's king versus prince, kids versus adults. We're casting for that as well. And then the other show is my own personal show that I'm casting for, called Destination Fashion. And so each scene in the show, the designer will have to pay tribute to an international destination.
Oh, and so they have to sort of, you know, give you this exhibit of what is in their mind for a place in the world.
Correct. So the entire show will be displayed as if you are on an airplane and we're going to destination after destination with the music,
great.
The clothes, everything.
Wow. And then you're doing a Fashion Week in September.
Yes. I go to New York Fashion Week twice a year, February and September. I take a large group of Chicago talent to New York to experience that. So we'll be going back in September.
And when you travel with folks like that, mm-hmm. what is it like to transplant what you've created or imagined here and then relocate it in New York?
Oh, God. It is challenging. This particular last trip, we came back last week and I had about 30, which is a small number. My largest trip was with 100 from Chicago to New York. And I'm responsible for every flight, every hotel room, shows. It's a lot.
How do you manage all those personalities then too?
It's a lot.
You all artists.
Yeah. And all of us are creatives, and creatives have interesting personalities, we'll just say. But it's models, designers, makeup artists, hairdressers, a little bit of everything. But it's my hope that taking them to New York will help them understand the fashion industry a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I love Chicago, but we don't have a realistic fashion exhibit at all.
How do we make that happen here? Desire, the will to do it.
I think
everyone leaves for New York.
Yeah, and I think it's because Chicago is very commercial driven. New York is more fashion driven.
Okay.
So Chicago is the place where you're going to see the Target ad shot and the Macy's ad and Walmart, versus New York is very, very high fashion, which is what everyone wants to do.
Right.
So we don't have a realistic example of what fashion is in Chicago. So that's why I take them.
So they're a little bit more lofty and dreamlike. Well, whereas like, here's what you can buy.
Yeah, they're a little bit more fantasy.
Yeah.
And we're a little bit more reality. And the reality is good. However, the problem with that is in Chicago, we don't have anyone or a lot of people that will give you real industry experience, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's kind of like being an actor. Eventually, you're going to have to go to LA to know what it truly means to be an actor, to stand in line for hours for a casting, to get told no before you even open up your mouth. You know, those different examples of this is the real. Yeah. Chicago's great, but we babysit a little bit here.
Yeah, we do. And yeah. I don't know. I guess I like being babysat. I mean, I visit New York mm-hmm. and I visit Los Angeles, but I always come home.
Yeah.
I want to, we have to take a break. We're going to, well, but I want to open the story up first with you before we turn to our guest, former Deputy Chief John O'Malley.
Okay.
Because we're going to talk about the Jussie Smollett case.
Oh, okay.
And so we're talking about artists right now, and we're talking about the environment in Chicago, and, you know, he shoots a series here, Empire, and the world's eyes are on us right now as to how this unfolds, how the investigation continues. And I made my son very upset in the few days after this story broke, in the first few days, because I've lived here my entire life, and I understand that, you know, I live on the Northwest Side. You know, everything we see is on the news, and whenever there's a shooting, we're like, oh, I'll bet you that was in Inglewood, or that was in Roseland, you know, and we have this sort of idea in Chicago about how violence happens, or hate crimes too, right? This seemed strange, and that's what is painful, because you don't want to accuse someone of lying.
Right?
And there's no good ending to the story, is there? Because either he was attacked or he wasn't, and both are bad endings.
I mean, I think either way, I am worried about him.
Yes.
If he was attacked, I worry about him and myself. If he was not attacked, then I still worry about him and the mental state of why there was deception. So at the end of it, either way, I'm just worried about him.
So we're going to talk to a law enforcement expert and talk a little bit about some of the way law enforcement proceeds from here, or have been proceeding with some of the step-by-step techniques that they take trying to gather all the information. It's going to be John O'Malley. When we come back, we're hanging out with Blake Martin in studio. If you have any questions or comments throughout the show, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Been news all day in regards to the Jussie Smollett case, and we've been talking about it briefly with our guest Blake Martin, who joins us in studio. He is the creator of Blake Martin Productions, and I wanted to invite our next guest on the air. He is the former Chief Deputy U.S. Marshal in the Northern District of Illinois. He is a law enforcement expert, and he contacted me today and said there were some developments and wanted to know if we wanted to hear about it. Hey, how you doing tonight, O'Malley? Can I just call you O'Malley? I feel like that's such a great...
Why not?
Yeah, great.
Sure, Vasquez.
It's actually Vasquez.
Vasquez. Sorry. And I see you're a Sox fan now. I'm very happy.
Well, let's not get into that right now. That's an ongoing process. But you contacted me, and you're so great about sort of unpacking some of these stories for us and describing and discussing the different elements of how law enforcement gathers information during an investigation. So tell us what developed today.
So it sounds like, obviously, this case has been garnered a lot of attention, not only here locally, but then nationally. Mr. Smollett was on Good Morning America today. And obviously, the Chicago Police Department are going to take this investigation very seriously. Treating him as a victim, as they should be, until they can figure out that the story is either true or not. So what led them to... believe that possibly this story might not be as what they first had, or just some strange circumstances that were highly publicized. And what's recently happened is that the Chicago Police Department was able to identify two of the individuals that, if you remember early on, there was a sort of grainy photo from a surveillance camera that was put out publicly of these people were in the area of where the alleged attack occurred, and that they had some interest in locating them further. So that sounds like that was done, and these individuals have been talking with the police, and it's my understanding there could be some potential charges on these two individuals, and obviously it sounds like they could possibly be talking with the police.
Right. We don't know in which element of the case that they are giving information. We don't know if they are the ones that were maybe perhaps witnesses, if they were the attackers, or as some people are now speculating. And of course, CPD is outraged. We know that Superintendent Johnson is very angry that there might be any leaks from his department. Whether or not Jussie was working with somebody, that's one of these speculative stories that has come out. Now, how long can they hold these two individuals?
Well, and that's just it, right? So they've been I don't want to use the word custody, but they've been, you know, with the police. I don't know the, you know, what the details are. If they're, in other words, if they can just say, you know what, we're done talking, and we, I'm going to grab my my jacket and leave. So normally, the Constitution doesn't really specify. It uses the words what's in the Sixth Amendment, what's reasonable for law enforcement to hold someone without filing actual charges. In Illinois, that's been looked at, and a state can then say, well, here in Illinois, it's usually about 24 hours. Start getting more than that, you know, a lawyer could go to the court and say, listen, you know, my client is being held an unreasonable amount of time. There's been no charges filed. I need you to order the police to release my client or any individual. So I think we're getting pretty, my understanding is we're getting pretty close probably to where that time limit is. Either the state's attorney's office is going to approve charges, or these individuals will have to be let go. Not to say that they couldn't be arrested later if in the investigation shows that there's some criminal activity. And again, you know, as Eddie Johnson rightly said, he is still being looked at and treated as a victim. Just because two people said, hey, you know, this is what happened, doesn't necessarily mean that that's proof to say he was involved in any kind of a conspiracy or hoax in this matter.
Now, what kind of evidence are they looking for? Because I believe, and well, actually, tell us what they have already found, because I think that there was a noose, a type of a rope or wire around his neck. Is that correct?
Right. That was widely reported that there was some kind of chemical, potentially bleach, used during the attack, and some kind of rope or tied in a noose fashion that was around his neck, and apparently still around his neck when the police initially were called and then arrived and spoke with him at someone's apartment. And there was also reported today that it does sound like CPD is not denying, I don't know if they're actually confirming that, a search warrant was conducted on an apartment associated with the two individuals that are speaking with the police at Area Central Headquarters at 51st and Wentworth. So in order to obtain a search warrant, the detectives working the case would have to articulate in an affidavit probable cause to enter a residence and specify what it is they're looking for. You can't just show up in an apartment or a house and make entry into a house on a search warrant. It has to be specified what it is you're looking for. Drugs, you're looking for drug proceeds, you're looking for money, weapons, whatever it is. So they would have had to have articulated an affidavit signed off by a judge in Cook County to say, based on this investigation, they were looking for particular items. And why it is that particular apartment or house they went to is associated with this investigation. So that tells me that there's some sort of information they've been gathering to carry out a search warrant is a pretty big step in an investigation like this.
Blake, do you have a question?
I do. Question about the surveillance video. When this situation first came up, it was kind of said it would be an open and shut case because there were so many cameras around the vicinity of where this happened. And then it came out that there was no security footage. And then we heard that there was security footage. Then it was stated there was security footage, but there's about a minute and a half that is missing. So have there been any new developments or any new discovery in regards to the surveillance footage? And if there has, the two men in the grainy photo, do they match anyone seen on said footage?
Right. So good point. So, and that's another thing. You know, we're talking about downtown Chicago. There are thousands of cameras in the area, especially downtown, that are operated by the city, not to mention, you know, I would guess hundreds of other cameras in and around the area that are privately owned buildings, businesses that often the detectives will find out who operates those cameras. And you know, in most cases, people will cooperate and turn over any kind of footage. So it might not have necessarily caught the attack, but it certainly would catch people in the vicinity right after and right before to try and piece together anyone that was in and around those areas. And as you mentioned, there was then some video or images from video that were released to the public stating that these two individuals seen on the video might be related. Now, I would imagine that as this case unfolded, the detectives, as you've noticed, the information being released from law enforcement has been fairly quiet over the last 5 to 7 days or so. I can assume, just based on my experience, that there may have been some other videos uncovered that match those two individuals being elsewhere prior to and after when the alleged attack occurred. They may have been able to get better videos and identify the two individuals. They obviously identified these two individuals some way, somehow, to actually find out who they were and actually get them to central headquarters for questioning. That leads then into the phone records that we've all heard about back and forth of the reluctance to turn them over. Then it was, well, redacted records were turned over. I believe there was a statement by the Chicago Police Department, maybe even Eddie Johnson, the superintendent himself, that said those were inadequate for the investigation. What the police department and the detectives can do then is subpoena those phone records from the victim's phone carrier and get those records on their own. Again, this is just solely based on my experience of conducting investigations. I would assume or make the leap that those phone records revealed a lot more than they're letting the public know currently, which probably corroborated who they may have believed were in those videos that they've obtained, matched those with the phone records. Obviously, as we know, they did a search warrant, came up with an address associated with the individuals they're questioning via phone records, via other information that they would have to prove and show probable cause why they were so interested in that particular apartment or house.
Well, speaking of phone records, I recently saw an interview that Jussie did this morning, actually, in which he stated that he was being asked to hand over his physical phone. And so for a regular individual, we have all have private photos, videos, and different things of that nature in our phones. But especially for a celebrity, he probably has a lot of high-profile numbers and different things in that cell phone. Obviously, I know that you guys can request the phone records, but legally, does the victim have to turn over his physical phone? And if so, outside of the records, what could be found in the physical phone that would help this case?
Right. No, they, by law, they don't have to, they can't take the phone from him. It's just, it's voluntarily, right?
Okay.
You know, we like to look at your phone. I think part of that was because what he said was he was on the phone with his manager or someone during the attack, and that person overheard maybe some of what was being said or overheard part of the attack to corroborate, simply corroborate what he was saying was in fact true. So, sure, he that was what he said, as you mentioned, that he didn't want to actually physically turn over his phone because there's information. You know, who wants their phone taken by law enforcement, whether you're a victim, especially if you're involved in criminal activity? Not to say he was, I'm just saying you don't want to turn over it. Phones have become so personal. Photos, videos, what you're searching for on the web, what apps you have, all kinds of those things. So, you know, there potentially could be evidence to prove what happened, maybe information. Who knows what's on there? So that's probably why they were asking. You know, we don't know. None of us are privy to those initial conversations that the detectives had with him once those beat officers would have reported this crime to detectives who would follow up. Because of the nature of it, it had the potential for a hate crime, you know, all kinds of things that would have elevated this attack into felony territory. So that's why the detectives were paying such close attention to it. Obviously, you know, it's what they refer to as a heater case, which simply means there's a lot of attention on the case, not only from the media, but from the bosses inside the police department.
Oh, and the world. We've been talking to John O'Malley. He's former Chief Deputy U.S. Marshal in the Northern District of Illinois and our law enforcement expert here at WGN Radio and Television. I know you got to get up early to be on TV, so we're going to let you go and get some rest. And thank you so much for the information that you've shared with us. And we'll talk to you again very soon. Hopefully you can come hang out with us late one night.
Sure, Patty. Take care. Hopefully we learn really what's going on in this case.
Oh, no doubt. Again, there's no good ending to the story.
No.
Have a great night.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
All right. Go Sox.
Go Sox. It's so hard to say. More to this on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Joining us in studio is Blake Martin. He is Blake Martin Productions. That's just, you know what? Just create it and do it.
That's all. That's
I love it. It.
Thank
love
you.
It.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And I'm so grateful that you joined the conversation that we've been having about Jussie Smollett. I know
Absolutely.
That this is something that has captured national attention. And, of course, he gave an interview this morning. Mm-hmm. And the conversation continues in regards to whether or not this actually happened. And we have a really good friend of the show, Todd Belcour.
Okay.
Oh, it is? Oh, no. Hold on. Let me let him know that. Todd Belcour, if you're listening, I know you're down in Springfield. And we tried calling. I'm gonna tell him VM. There you go. Todd Belcour is the executive director for Social Change, and he does a lot of great work. They have an event coming up this weekend. They've got one of the mayoral forums. Have you decided? And don't have to tell me who, Blake.
Mm-hmm.
Have you decided who you're voting for mayor of Chicago?
Not even close. No.
Oh, he's calling right now. I'll bet you that's Todd right now. Let me see. I don't know his number, but we'll see if that's him. Yes, it is. There's Todd. He's trying to call us. That's probably, we're probably just banging into each other.
So yeah.
Like, yeah. No, it's hard to decide. There's too many mayoral candidates.
Absolutely. It's a lot of them this year.
It's all of them. And yeah. Todd Belcour might be able to help us all out because he has a forum this Saturday. Social Change is an organization that seeks to inform, encourage, inspire, and change the way we think about the way we live our lives.
Love that.
We're having access to jobs, to justice. Hey, Todd, how are you doing tonight?
I'm well. How are you this evening? Happy Valentine's Day to you, your guests, and all your listeners.
Thank you.
Happy Valentine's Day. This is Blake Martin, Todd Belcour.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you also.
So, Todd, tell us about the mayoral forum you have coming up this weekend.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a great event right there at DuSable Museum at Fort Jewell on our south side of Chicago here. And it's going to give mayoral candidates an opportunity to share their visions with people throughout the city of Chicago and how they intend to lead in a more inclusive and equitable way. As of now, it's pretty clear a lot of the policies have at least just completely inequitable outcomes, but we want to make sure that people who are running for office have that lens in mind and that historic understanding in mind, have some plans to do something about it.
Do you have any, and don't have to tell me who, but is there anyone standing out for you in this race?
No standouts, but we do have some confirmed candidates who will be there to share their vision. That's Amara Enya, Paul Vallis, Lori Lightfoot, Susanna Mendoza, Tony Preckwinkle, and LaShawn Ford. Mm-hmm. So hopefully one of them will say something that speaks to what the city of Chicago really needs right now.
And you do a lot of work in Springfield. You know, we often forget about that very important relationship when it comes to our city politicians and the legislature and, of course, the executive branch down there. How much has changed in Springfield just in the last, you know, the last few weeks since Governor Pritzker took office?
You know, that's a really good question. Just today, they voted on the actual minimum wage bill to raise the minimum wage over a period of 6 years to $15 per hour throughout the state, with a bunch of exceptions and different opportunities for tax credits for small businesses and the like. But that's something that a lot of advocates and unions and beyond and people in the anti-poverty space have been working on for a long time. So the fact that it's a priority for this administration to make this kind of be the bellwether, what sort of things they expect to accomplish, what sort of really monumental things they expect to do in their first term, it's a sea change. So it's interesting to see the elation along the rail today, people crying and really exciting and taking pictures. recognizing the historic moment that it represented, and it already is a level of elation that we didn't see much of the last 4 years previously.
You could say that. It was a bit tense there in Springfield. I have to take a quick break. We were running late to the news, and I want to hold you for another segment, if you don't mind, Todd.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Of course. I want to talk more about the work that you do. We were talking to Todd Belcore. He is the Executive Director for Social Change. Tell people where they can find Social Change while we take this break.
Absolutely. You can find us at socialchange.site, or at Chi Social Change, C-H-I Social Change.
Excellent. More with Todd and our guest, Blake Martin, in studio when we come back on 720 WGN. This Saturday, Social Change is hosting a mayoral forum, Plans Not Platitudes, a conversation at the intersection of racial equality and public policy. And joining us is the Executive Director of Social Change, Todd Belcore. He's also a policy expert. He's also lectures on law. And we are so thrilled to have him on the line with us. In studio, we have Blake Martin, Blake Martin Productions. And Todd, we were talking about this mayoral forum and some of the candidates and the relationship we have with Springfield, and of course the historic vote on raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour over the next several years. You know, there are a lot of issues that I know are important to you. What are some of the I know the justice system is something that you're very passionate about and work very hard to make sure that those who are incarcerated have their rights and their needs met. What has been going down in Springfield in this new session?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the most important thing is to ensure that people have access to jobs and justice. So it doesn't matter what their wage is in terms of an hourly or salary, but people are outright denied jobs just by virtue of their race or their background is having some sort of mistake in their past. That's still not really access to the basic necessities people need to provide for themselves and their families. So we recognize that reality for a lot of people, that no matter how the seat may change around them, the sort of discrimination they endure still is real. That forces them to be in a position that leads to not just poverty, but a cycle of violence and other things that we all want to do something about. So we're here fighting for 22 measures in particular, two that I want to highlight. One that removes the barriers for people who can prove they've turned their lives around, who are trying to seek housing or occupational licenses, so we can have more people that the gifts and the desire to be able to start businesses and get the licenses they need to really be on their way and put that shingle on the door, so to speak, and be the entrepreneurs that we know a lot of people in our communities are, and also find the basic housing assets that they need to keep a roof over their heads and their family's head. Another thing, the Liberty Bill, which I've talked about with you before in the past, is to make sure that we don't have a system that allows people to remain in prison for offenses that are no longer even considered crimes, for offenses that the General Assembly has decided merits a lesser penalty than what's been given historically. So we just want to make sure there's some fairness brought into that system, so no one's incarcerated, no one's serving a sentence for something that if they were convicted of today wouldn't even be a crime. It would be a tickable offense or wouldn't yield the same sort of significant penalty as it carries at that point in time, to make sure there is some justice. There are some opportunities for jobs, and people are able to do the things we need them to do.
It seems like not only justice, but it seems common sense. If something is no longer illegal and somebody is sitting in jail for something that they would no longer be there, you know, if it happened today, it's crazy making.
Yeah, well, that's the General Assembly. So it's amazing. Point. You know, I'll talk to people about, oh, what are you working on? I'm like, oh, yes, we're just trying to make sure you know, police prioritize preserving life, and, you know, tech companies aren't allowed to mine your information without your permission, and all the stuff that sounds so obvious. And, you know, that's not already the law, but the bottom line is that's why there are special interests, to make sure that there's entire swaths of business populations or otherwise that profit from things that on their face are not just. So it requires, you know, our activity as Social Change, but other organizations who are down here fighting the good fight, to make sure there's some sanity in our statutes, and make sure the will of the people represents the law of the land.
Now, Blake, one of the reasons I'm friends with Todd is because he does fight the good fight. And Blake and I were talking earlier in the show about this, about the more information that's come out regarding the Jussie Smollett case. And I texted you and I was like, do you have any thoughts on this? And you were like, yes, because this is something we're all following. Yeah. And as an attorney and as somebody who works toward justice, what are your thoughts on this case?
You know, I have lots of thoughts on this, so thank you for inviting me to join the conversation. One, I just wonder if people would be so quick to think about the possibility of being kind of a farce if his makeup was different, if he looked different, if he had a different nationality, if, you know. But I also wonder, I mean, there are a lot of circumstances relating to this incident that people aren't covering, whether it be the threatening letter that was sent to Fox or the notion that he really doesn't have a lot of motivation to create an entire scenario where he does have a rope tied around him and bleach poured on him. And I mean, he's not some politician trying to get, you know, some publicity. He's not some unknown actor. I mean, the show is doing really well on its own. He's getting a lot of buzz on its own. So I'm hoping certainly that all this, I mean, I'm not hoping that this atrocity happened to him, but I'm definitely expecting the police to uncover whatever the truth of the matter is. Hopefully people can give it time to be sorted out in that manner. But I wasn't expecting it to jump from, oh, this is awful, to, is this real, to now it's a full-on controversy.
Right.
But I would love to hear your thoughts on it.
Well, let me take a break here, and before we go to the news, I heard you catch yourself because I said the exact same thing. I hope, saying the words, I hope he's telling the truth, meaning I hope it's true that he was attacked, is such a weird thing to want to say.
Right.
And but it's still kind of like, I don't, there's no good ending to this. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll just wrap this conversation up and make sure that people know more about your mayoral forum before we throw to the news. One moment, 720 WGN. We've been hanging out with Todd Belcore from Social. He's executive director of Social Change. They've got a great mayoral forum coming up this Saturday. Todd, tell folks where they can get more information and where the event is.
Yeah, absolutely. The event is at Salvo Museum, which is really an international jewel that celebrates African-American culture and history. And you can get more information at socialchange.site or, of course, seeing us anywhere in social media at Shy Social Change or at DuSable Museum. They're an incredible partner, and they're the ones who put not just this incredible event together, but many other informative events for the community to not just know their history but have an idea what could be going on in their future as well. So hopefully everyone can come out and get their tickets. It's sold out, but we've just opened up another swath of tickets just for the next couple of days for people who are tuning in. So now's the time to check it out.
And I believe the front runner in the mayoral race right now is undecided, and that's not a good candidate to have. So we've got to, people need to show up to some of these forums and make some choices. And in regards to Jussie Smollett, I'm with you. You know, I think that we need to take a step back and let the law enforcement do their job, collect the information, and we'll learn what we need to know in due time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right. There are no good outcomes here. But at the very least, it's bringing attention to the way in which the attention is drawn to this case that isn't really drawn to any other type of investigation. But the notion of hate crimes is unfortunately all too common. But also the notion that people are misrepresenting things, whether it be police officers or otherwise, is something that's also undercovered. So hopefully at the end of this, and hopefully you're right, there's no good outcomes, but the level of attention brought to this will be brought to other cases of importance as well.
Exactly. Have a great night, Todd. Get some rest. You got a lot of work to do. You still got to fix the state. I don't know if I told you that. It's on you.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
But I also appreciate that you're covering the White Sox now. That makes you feel better about everything.
Go Sox. See, you never
All
heard
right,
me say
take
that.
Care now.
All right. Take care, Todd. Be well.
All right. Bye now.
Thank you. It's time now for our news. Coming up after the news, Blake Martin and I are going to hang out with Warren Price from European U.S. Auto Body to talk about the car show and find out what his thoughts are this week on what's going on there and what cars he likes, because he saw
Hopefully
everything
he
on Friday.
Brought us some keys.
Right?
Yeah.
The bag of keys.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Let's just pull out a key.
That's right. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Here with your news is Vic Vaughn. Good tunes. Nice little jam there. Happy Valentine's Day, Ro.
Happy Valentine's Day, Patty.
We were brought heart-shaped pizzas by our very good friend Warren Price from European and U.S. Auto Body.
My heart was broken. They fell. They collapsed. The cheese slid.
It slid all over.
It was good, though.
Blake, it was good.
Blake Martin got a couple slices there, too. I don't eat the bones. Do you guys eat the bones?
No.
Which is wrong, so because I don't eat the bones, but I don't take the middle pieces. You would think if I don't like the bone, then I should take the middle pieces.
So what's your favorite pieces?
I like the corner pieces.
You like the edges?
But I don't eat the edges.
Oh, I hate the corner pieces.
Really?
The crust is the favorite part.
No.
That's the best part of the pizza.
Actually, I like to take two pieces of cheese and slap them together.
Crustless pizza. Dough.
I thought we were closer than this.
No, can't do it.
What?
And then a fight broke out.
Give me all the middles. You take the crust. You take the corners.
That's
we'll
fine.
Be great.
See?
That works.
Wait a second. Let's go to peppers.
This happens every time when you come in, Warren. There was one. I cannot stand green peppers on my pizza. Hate it. It ruins a pizza. Oh, it's disgusting. I'm sorry. It's a pepper.
That's a thing?
It's a green peppers on a pizza? Yeah, people
what?
Do that.
That's a beautiful thing.
It's awful.
Am I just a weirdo over
here? So I thought we were friends.
See?
We're
crust,
over.
Crust and peppers.
It's like that.
Yeah.
Over
like
peppers.
That. You like crust and peppers.
I love crust and I like vegetables on my pizza. Like,
no.
I like
spinach, mushrooms.
Cheese and sausage and mushrooms. Mm-hmm. End of story.
Okay. But mushrooms is a veggie.
You're a simple man. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit more complicated.
Why is it they put green peppers on pizzas and not orange
They're
or red?
They're cheaper than the red ones.
Exactly.
The orange
you
ones.
Learned that, didn't you?
I learned it. There's some girl named Patty who taught me about peppers about a week ago.
Green peppers are not finished.
They're not finished. They're incomplete.
The reason that there are red and orange peppers is because that's what color the green peppers become.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've always thought that.
Oh. There you go. So now you know. That's why they're so tangy.
You're good on your feet.
They're too pungent. Ro's like, excuse me? Yeah, they're not finished. It's an undone vegetable.
I guess.
It's incomplete.
So are the orange and yet, are they healthier?
Yes, they are healthier, actually. Yes.
The green ones are.
No, the red and orange ones are.
Because they're more mature.
Yeah.
They're just more ripe, is what that sounds
like. More ripe.
Which means they have more vitamins.
Because they're not done.
Hence why they're more expensive.
Are there cars that are more ripe?
The red ones.
The red ones are
red
more.
Ones. Sometimes the yellow ones.
Are red cars still more expensive to insure, Warren?
That was a thing. That is a question. I would think not. I would think that the color car today is black.
Mm-hmm.
And they are definitely more expensive
to insure.
Yeah.
How about now? What are the laws in Illinois about tinting windows? Everyone wants to have.
There's certain degrees of shade that you can get to put on the windows. You can't have it where you can't be seen.
Right.
Some people get away with it for quite some time. Quite some time.
Yeah.
And you can't have them on the driver or front passenger glass.
Are we ever going to have those, the kind of tint, like maybe from a James Bond movie where you just push a button and it gets darker and then it gets lighter?
Automatic shading?
Yes.
Absolutely coming.
It's coming? Yeah.
Absolutely. There's no reason why it wouldn't happen.
You just got excited, didn't you? Yeah, a little
bit. Photo grade glasses.
Right. Why aren't those on cars? Photo grade.
That's all coming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
With limited tint, of course.
Right.
On the front doors.
All right.
And windshield.
I was at Warren's auto body shop on Tuesday during that, after the morning after the ice storm.
Ooh.
And there was this poor kid who had a branch had fallen.
A Toyota Corolla. Ooh. A 2016 Toyota Corolla.
Impaled the whole thing, Ro. Just from front to back, the branch just went through
the
everything.
The ice storm went through front and rear windshields.
Mm-hmm.
It ruined the hood, the right fender, left fender. Almost every panel was destroyed.
Yeah. It was, and there was a point in the front windshield where it looked like it was wedged into the dash.
It came down right through the front, the cowl area, they call it, in the front, which is below the glass at where the windshield wipers are. It, like a hammer went.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Was he fully covered at least?
We're working that out as we speak. Coverage is not an issue. Coverage is when the insurance company actually decides to do something, which is a thorn that I don't... It hurts me when I talk about it, the way insurance companies manhandle their customers.
What about, hail damage? That seems to be something where, there'll be this entire... Obviously, cars are all hit on a certain day. The insurance companies have to just see that day go, oh, no.
They hurt that day.
Yeah.
Yeah, they hurt that day.
Some
I remember one dealership, they had 500 and some odd cars that were all hit by hail.
Oh.
It's an expensive loss.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah,
but then there's the PDR program, paintless dent removal, which can absolutely save the insurance company tons of money. It doesn't harm the car when the repairs are done.
Right.
And it keeps the value versus conventional bodywork.
Well, now we're talking about the tinted windows and the gradation and things like that. They need to make roofs of cars that are impervious to hail.
Rubber roofs where they bounce off.
Right. This seems like something.
Well, rubbers actually could be heavier, than aluminum or steel.
Right. And
thicker.
I'm just trying to think. I don't know who I have to help work on.
There's a lot of stuff that's coming in the future that we're going to have to see that will impale the strength of the hail.
Well, here's the thing, though, Warren. If you had rubber around the car, wouldn't we all just be driving bumper cars? That would be amazing.
It would be fun, but...
bumper cars. Come on, Blake.
There'd still be major whiplash.
Okay.
Road rage would be off the chain.
Yeah. If I knew it was rubber on my car,
they'd have to sell rubber bullets then.
Yeah, but like, and then you'd be like spinning around, you'd be stuck against like a guardrail and you can't back it up, and then all the cars.
Yeah.
Come on.
So, just rubber on my car. No, I'm going
after. So, Patty, when I left here today.
Yes.
At 1.
We were here during the.
I'll give you the exact time, and then I'm going to show you this. At 1:17. PM.
You were at the station earlier today with me, but I was done with you at like 11. What? Where was this? So
Did
you will that accident to happen?
No. At Stratford and Lakeshore Drive, a lady, her foot got caught in reverse first and whipped in a circle into a fence.
Show Blake this picture. That's not good. That's a car that has driven into
And then what she did is she freaked out, slammed it into drive, and went into a complete circle and ended up in this post.
Yeah, she ran into a post.
And she was unharmed.
Oh, wow. Oh, and nobody else
totaled
was hurt.
Her car.
Wow.
No one was hurt. Thank God. Otherwise, they would have gone through a temple's front doors.
Did you give her a card?
No, she called me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's a customer.
Oh, so you didn't see this happen?
No, but I was there before the police and the tow trucks.
You and I saw a car. We saw a near miss on Lakeshore Drive this morning.
Today?
Yeah, there was a car zipping around.
It flew by us on the left and then cut across three lanes to get to exit.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It's like, what is this guy?
Guys
like that keep someone that you're talking to in business.
Here. We are hanging out with Warren Price. He is the owner of European and U.S. Auto Body and Blake Martin, Blake Martin Productions. Our conversation continues when we come back. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. Oh, and don't forget, everything we say is podcast. So if you listen to if you've missed anything and you want to listen to something again, you can always subscribe to my podcast on TuneIn or iHeartRadio. You can also subscribe on iTunes. We'd love to hear from you. My mom told me today, she goes, Patricia, they're saying nice things about you on iTunes.
Nice.
You should be happy. So you can also follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI. Happy Valentine's Day, Mommy. More in a moment on 720 WGN. She loves my car. She loves my car. It's just a machine. This week on Chicago's Best, the CB team is planning your midday meals from Monday meatloaf to Friday fish fry. That's fish fry. Harder to say than you think it was. That it is. Warren, I have pizza that you've given me, and it's making me tongue-tied.
It's
Friday fish.
Yes, you did say you were a little thirsty. So.
Friday fish fry.
Mm-hmm. Friday's fish fry? Where?
Friday fish fry.
See? Where?
Fish fry. On Chicago's Best Lunch Deal, Sunday night at 10 on WGN TV. Friday fish fry. See?
Friday fish fry.
Friday fish fry.
Uh-huh.
Friday fish fry.
Friday fish fry.
I want to make everybody silly.
You have to think about it.
You do.
Friday.
You have to slow down is what it is.
You
for
ever
me.
Go to the fish keg over on Howard Street?
I have. That's really
God.
Such good stuff.
I've been there forever.
By the way, I want to thank you for giving me a chance to test drive a Toyota minivan because I'm thinking about it. I don't know that I'm ready, but man, it is nice to get behind the wheel of a newer car sometimes.
Well, I figured you needed to at least see some diversity.
Mm-hmm. Some diversity,
and, yes. Yes, you needed some diversity. And I spoke with my friends over at Chicago Northside Toyota. And they figured we'd get you a car to use for a little bit just so you could feel something different?
Well, because the 2005 that I have is on its last legs. Yeah,
it's just it's not on its last leg. It's just tired. That's
tired.
All.
It's tired.
You know, it's got some issues. Although I drove it again today, uh-huh. and it runs, and you saw the you didn't get the report yet, but it passed all signs
of life.
Life, yeah, it still will live and it'll drive, but. That the new Toyota Sienna that they came out with is
so
gorgeous.
Pretty.
It's the crew over at Chicago Northside Toyota do a really good job.
I feel like a cool mom in that minivan.
You are a cool mom.
That's all right.
Your sons told me that.
Oh, well. Blake, do you have a car?
Yes.
What do you drive?
A Nissan Maxima Sport.
Oh, nice.
Really?
I love
Maxima's
it.
Maxima's a solid ride.
I love it. I love Nissans.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love Nissans. Nissans and Mitsubishis.
Oh, Mitsubishis really? Are cute. Yeah. They're really cute cars, too.
I love them. They're very durable. I've had my car for a very, very long time. Never had any problems with it.
How many miles you got?
Well over 100.
Oh, there you go.
So it's doing good. Yeah. I'm looking for a new car probably in the next 6 months or so.
What were you going to say, Warren?
I had a Gallant.
That's what I had.
I had it for like seven years
and never a problem.
It was a little compact, but it was perfect for at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great love gas them. Mileage.
I'm saving up for a Tesla. Once I get there, I'm
what?
Good. Whoa, electric man.
Look out. Ooh, yeah. Here's another fan of the Toyota Sienna. We have Taxi Driver Bob on the line. Hey, Taxi Driver Bob, what do you want to say?
Yeah, I had a 2006 Toyota Sienna. Now I have a 2015 all-wheel drive Toyota Sienna with a XLE package leather seats, and it's a great vehicle. It's rated, supposedly it's rated better in the snow than a Jeep Cherokee.
Really?
And I go through snow like it's crazy, because a lot of times I'll be taking people back from the airport to home, and they hadn't been home for like a week, and their driveway is just covered in like 6 inches of snow, and then with that berm of where they plow it on the street, and they say don't go in there, you'll get stuck, and I just drive through in the car, no spinning of the tires, just goes through it like butter, and they're like oh.
So do you yeah. use it for work?
Yeah, oh, of course, it's my taxi cab.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, that's an awesome machine.
It's got 158,000. It's just a baby. I mean, these cars run.
A 300,000-mile car.
Oh yeah, easily. And I've been going to Auto Nation in Libertyville because I live up in that area, and they're giving like $17 oil changes for synthetic oil, and I don't know how.
You know what? I'm going to have to drive up there just to do that.
it's a lost leader. It's like where they sell a gallon of milk in the store for like really cheap because they know you're going to get other stuff. But it's just for me, I put so many miles on the vehicle.
You're in there every
great
month.
To be able to go. Right. Well, more than that, but I do it. They say that you could go every 10,000 miles, but I do a lot of idling during the winter time, so I actually do it every 5,000 because it's one of the cheapest ways to keeping your car up. There's no point in driving a car with oil that's lost its viscosity and like that. So, I also have another question for the guy that owns the European Auto Body.
Yeah.
I have the Nextdoor app on my phone, and somebody posted of somebody looking for a Mercedes mechanic in the Lake County area. Are you know of any Mercedes mechanic?
Lake County, you're talking northwest?
Well, north, yeah.
North?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to have to put on my thinking cap. I'm a city rat, pretty much.
Oh.
I've been in the city my entire life.
Well, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm sorry to hear you live so far away. Your gas bill to come to the city is worth it, and you have to change your oil more often.
I have scars from living in the city. A lot of parking tickets, and I don't know. I lived in Rogers Park for a really, really long time, and I have to say, I don't miss it. I don't like the hustle and bustle. I like going home and having things quiet and people not, asking you for money on the street. And, it's just, I don't know. It was too much for me. Some people really like and enjoy it, and good for them. But I couldn't take living in Chicago anymore.
Well, but what you could do tomorrow, if you want, you can call me at 773-248-1200, and I'll get you a mechanic in Lake County.
Oh, well,
all right.
Hey.
Yeah, that I could do. I know who to call to ask. So we can do that. See, I could tie you up.
I heard your place does really good work through word of mouth from hearing from other people that you guys really do a good job. So.
How much did you pay those people, Warren?
The fans
just going
go
around
wild.
Slipping people $5.
Thank you very much. I appreciate what you've just said. It's great to hear that there's people actually saying good words.
It's good to have. A lot of times I'm taking people that their cars broke down and different things like that. We have end up having conversations about cars and stuff like that. But Patty, you can't go wrong with the Toyota. You initially pay more money for a Toyota, but in the long run, you're going to spend far less in mechanical repairs for the vehicle. So it ends up that you're saving money in the long run by investing a little bit more initially.
That's good to know.
Yeah, it's funny. When I was actually on the floor selling cars, my thought process is I would rather buy a car from the guy across the street from me and pay him more money than go shopping and go to six different places to try and save $100 or $200 or $300 or $500 because I want to get great service from a guy and I want him to make a profit.
Yeah.
And I really want him to feel good about when I walk in the door instead of going backwards, squeezing him for that extra money to get off and then coming in and squeezing him more for service instead of letting him do the right thing.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah, we are hanging out in the Allstate Skyline Studios. We've got Blake Martin, Blake Martin Productions.
Hey.
What's your website and all your social media? We haven't gotten to that. I apologize.
You're fine. www.blakemartinproductions.com and Mr. Blake Martin on all social media platforms.
Mr. Blake Martin.
Yep.
Follow him on Twitter and
Please.
On Facebook. You can also find European and U.S. Auto Body online, Warren.
At EuropeanUS.com.
More in a moment on 720 WGN. There's a few more days left for the Chicago Auto Show, and we thought we'd check in again with our good friend Warren Price from European and U.S. Auto Body. Joining us as well is Blake Martin, Blake Martin Productions.
Hey.
You can find him on social media, Mr. Blake Martin. And you went to the first look for charity on Friday night.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It looked like you had a great time.
I had a ball. It was so much fun.
How crowded? I mean, like, because it's mostly folks, obviously, who buy the tickets for the charity. I believe it's 28 different charities in the Chicagoland area that they help.
The quantity, I can't be 100%
sure.
But it's a lot.
They raise a lot of money for charity.
They raise a lot of money. I think somewhere around $3 million was raised that night.
Wow.
It's just to see everybody dressed to the nines, black tie optional. Ladies dressed, gowns, jewelry, hair, men walking as tall
strutting.
As they can, strutting their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The car is all shiny. There's the demonstrator ladies dressed up with their little computers in their hands, ready to take questionnaires on their automobiles that you have interest in.
And you're around cars all the time, and for you to be dazzled, that's quite a thing.
I'm dazzled by the display. The cars are the cars. The cars are great. You know, I get to see every dream car that I can't have and afford, and I get to see everything that I can't afford and drive and I think is smart. And I get to see the hot rods because they've got some great stuff. Hearing the engines, it's fun.
Are you going to the auto show, Blake?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing to do every year.
Oh, that's
And
great.
I was so scared that I missed it being in New York, so I'm glad it's still
Monday's
going
on. The last day.
I'll be there.
It's Monday.
President's Day, and they are open, so get down there.
It's President's Day, which means people are out of school.
Yeah.
Yes. It will be crowded that day.
Yeah.
Actually, this weekend will probably be the busiest weekend.
Probably.
I'll be there.
It'll be crowded. Was there anything that jumped out at you, something that surprised you?
No, not really. I do really enjoy some of the tracks that they have there. The Jeep track was unbelievable. The Land Rover track was unbelievable. I saw.
Yeah, they have like six. Don't they have
six? I think there's six different tracks
that you can test drive. Test driving tracks.
You could go outside and test drive cars. You know, you have to sign up to do that and wait. But some people do that. And then I saw. A newscaster, I was doing something online today, looking at some stuff, and this one lady, she from, I forgot what radio, the television station. She test drove cars. She was in one and in another one and in another one. She was just all excited. It was great.
Oh, that's funny. You're like a kid.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, they have test tracks
they
now.
They have test tracks. Wow. They have test tracks indoors that you are a passenger. You can't drive it. But then they have an outdoor facility that you can actually drive cars.
It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, if you said you were looking at getting a car.
Yes.
This is the
perfect time.
Yeah. You start looking and you have to put your values together. What can you afford? How much is your insurance? What's your monthly outlay for the rent that you're going to be paying for? I call it rent. You're renting the car until you really own it. Mm-hmm. Make sure. Oh, I had a thing that I was interested in talking about. When people are buying cars, every year when they have this auto show, 70% of the people they say they actually literally walk into the auto show are buyers.
70%?
70%.
Wow. That's wild.
It's nuts. But a lot of people go out then and buy, mm-hmm. and they overfinance, and they don't get gap insurance. And
they're talk put about into gap a insurance.
They're put into a position where they buy a car that's, let's say, worth $25,000, and they put down two, and they have a 60-month mortgage, and their finance charges are come up to around, let's say, $30,000. And 3 days after they own the car's in an accident and it's totaled, and they don't have gap insurance. What happens? They have to pay off the car and the loan to give the insurance company the title. They end up costing them an additional $7,000
out of pocket,
and they lose because they didn't have protection.
But how much extra is that on the gap insurance? Would you say
it
like
could
anywhere
be
from
$25 a month?
Right,
it's nominal.
It's not terrible.
No,
not
at the end
protection.
At the end of the day, it's really important to get it. It's like people who buy insurance and they don't buy rental reimbursement funds because that's only $50 a year extra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe $100 a year extra. But if you have an accident and you don't have rental reimbursement, it could cost you a minimum, let's say 10 days of a repair, $35 a day with taxes.
Right.
That's $350.
Yeah.
Why put yourself in that position?
No kidding. That's something you don't take into account, because when you're sitting down with all the paperwork, and maybe, as you mentioned, people are overfinancing. They drop the ball on one side, and then they don't protect themselves on another.
They cheap out on one and expense on the other. Yeah. Dollar wise and penny foolish, isn't that the way that's
I think
that's
you're called? So excited in that moment, you don't think about those small points, though.
Right.
True, yeah. true. And then substandard insurance companies, sometimes they don't even understand that the carrier they're getting isn't going to pay full value on their repairs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Wow. Blake, it's the positions I see people across the counter from me is scary, and I feel very bad for them.
Yeah, no kidding. Because our cars are such an extension of ourselves now.
Absolutely.
They're a part of our identity, yeah.
Cars and phones.
You, when you were expressing your love for the Maxima, you were like, glowing.
Oh, yeah, I love that car.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's your personality. Patty loves her Odyssey.
I do.
Did you know? Here's another number. 70% of all the hybrids on the car on the street are?
Hondas? No, Toyotas.
Priuses.
Really? You said my Honda. I love my Toyota.
The Toyota?
My Toyota Prius is just fun.
Yeah.
And Warren and I came to the station this morning together. And I pulled in and I told him that I don't take the single spots, because I got wedged in between a pillar, and like to my core, it wasn't just that I was worried about the damage to the car, it was that it was my baby. Yeah. I scraped up my baby. It's like the first time Griffin got a bloody nose, I'm like, oh, I broke him.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he tripped over my foot, so I did kind of think it was my fault. We were at the Starbucks and he fell over my foot.
You tripped him.
I did not trip him. He was like two and he was all excited and he just didn't see my foot, and then he face planted at the Starbucks. Yeah, I felt terrible.
Does he have one of these now?
No, he's fine. He's poor thing.
Big nose.
By the way, how did you celebrate Valentine's Day? I know you brought us heart-shaped pizzas.
Well, I actually started celebrating yesterday morning, and I gave my twin daughters Valentine's cards and Hershey kisses. So when they woke up, they would have them on their little nightstands.
That's nice.
That's
and then I went to work all day, and I spent time with you, and then I brought some heart-shaped pizzas to the station tonight.
It was so good.
It was very tasty. So very, very good. Did you celebrate Valentine's Day, Blake?
No.
I think you said, is it Valentine's Day when I mentioned it? Yes.
Forgot completely.
Ro was saying she was just gutting her way through Valentine's Day.
But I feel like no one made a big deal about it this year.
It was quiet.
A lot of
it was very quiet
stuff about it. I forgot.
Yep.
If you were in a relationship, for the most part, nobody, like, at least for the girls, I think the girls in relationships were like, oh, you know, Valentine's Day. This year, I'm a single lady, so I chilled. But
yeah, single people, we really don't care about this day.
I don't know if I should tell this story or not because my husband listens to the show every night.
Hi, Steve.
Hey. I'm going to go ahead and tell the story because otherwise I seem like way too cool. Griffin and I picked him up from school and there was a lot of traffic. I had to stop and make some returns. And what really made me mad was that I could have gone shopping then, but it didn't register. And everybody I talked to all day in emails or by phone, or I came into the station, everyone's like, Happy Valentine's Day. And it didn't register. So Griffin and I get home, we walk in the door and I see flowers and chocolates and balloons. And I was like, ha! And I go, Griffin, we have to go. No, because I hadn't gotten anything for my husband. I'm like, I am the worst wife ever. So
a family.
No. In your defense, Valentine's Day is about the ladies. So not getting him a gift or forgetting is not that bad because it's not our day regardless.
No.
Is it true? I don't go for that.
Yeah.
I believe Valentine's Day is equality. For them.
I don't think so.
I think it's for them.
No, but I went out and I got him I went to the American Science Surplus store. And I got him a traveling telescope, and then I wrote in the car, it's bad that I'm telling you, because then I was happy with my solution.
I liked it so far.
I wrote, I love you to the stars and beyond. So
sweet.
Yeah, now I feel corny.
Best gift ever.
No, that's awesome.
But now he's going to hear that I walked in.
You could see the moon tonight? Did you see that on your way in?
I did not, but I walked in the house. I'm like, we have to leave now. There was so much
back
great stuff.
Slowly.
My favorite chocolates. There's a chocolatier called Vosges. Have you heard of Vosges? Mm. So good. So I was like, okay, we have to leave because this is mommy got some really cool stuff today.
Steve, you did a good job.
You did a very good
job, Steve.
And he bought flowers for my mom. Best guy ever.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah, you messed up.
Best. Yeah. See?
Steve.
Yeah. See?
What did you do wrong, Steve?
You messed up.
No. He's that guy.
Wow.
He actually, the bouquet of flowers that he bought, I'm allergic to roses. So he brought the flowers that was at the floral shop and got basically the flowers that we had at our wedding. The same, similar, like the lilies and wildflowers, purple, and all the different. Yeah.
High five, Steve. You're a romantic. Yeah, I love it.
Well, when you put it like that.
I had to go get him something.
Back out the house slowly.
Yeah. Like, I got something in my car, dear. I'll be back in a half hour.
That was so thoughtful.
He did such a great job. See?
Great job, Steve.
Well done. Well, that was, he topped himself.
Yeah. I'm glad.
Yeah. Next year, Toyota Sienna, sweetie. More after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me, Tell me something good.
Yeah, tell me something good. What's making you happy today? No matter what happens during the week, no matter what kind of arguments you have, or someone cuts you off in traffic, there's still something to be grateful about. You don't have to hold on to it. Just, find something.
Let it go.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. Hold on to it, but let it soften. Let it soften a little bit. I don't know if you have to let it go. You just let it go. You're right.
If you keep it, it's going to hurt you.
I know. It can be toxic.
I call it dead weight.
312-981-7200. Give us a call or text us if you want to share your something good with us tonight. I'll start with Warren. Warren, what's your something good tonight?
Well, I had a great day today. I met a vibrant young woman who worked at a specific radio station that impressed me to no end.
Excellent.
I can't mention her name. But she showed me something
about growing business.
About growing business. But she also showed me something about herself and an energy, and I compared her to Amy Schumer today.
Amy Schumer.
Because of the strength and energy that she possessed. And she was great. And we're going to be talking next week more about some podcasts or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. We'll see what happens. How about you, Blake? What are you? What makes you happy tonight?
Growth and opportunities. I think so often when you are in my business, every day becomes mundane. You do the same things and you forget how blessed you are to wake up and do what you love every single day.
I'm in love with this jacket, by the way.
Well, you know, thank you. I tried to come a little nice for you today.
Yeah. I love what you do, and I love how you do it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
Of course. My pleasure.
So much fun.
It was great. How about you, Ro? What's making you happy tonight?
Today was the highlight of my night. Patty knows how excited I was to have Blake Martin here. Blake has heard me rant about him on social media several different times before he knew anything about I was, and I had a really, really hard day. So to come here and have a great time, it's the highlight of my night.
Aww. I love you, Ro.
I love you, awesome. Too.
It's a love fest.
That's my girl.
I love that. My something good is, Declan had spinal fusion surgery last August, and we've had some tough times, but there's something new that Declan's been doing. My son has a neurological disorder where he's missing part of his brain and he can't talk, but he really responds to his environment in so many different ways. And lately what he's been doing is he's been dancing. You can see that he's 13 years old, and he kind of he'll take my hands and just start swinging my hands. Like, wow. He knows the gestures of dancing and he wants me to do it for him. Like, he'll put his hands on my hips, let's dance, let's boogie. And it's just been really fun.
Wow.
To dance with Declan.
That's amazing.
Dancing with Declan will probably
keep dancing, Declan.
Keep dancing, Declan. Yeah, it's been very, very, it's funny because he can be very mischievous. The other thing is that what he'll do is he'll make you think we're going for a walk. He'll take your hand and you think, oh, we're going into another room. Maybe we're going to go cuddle or something. And then he shoves your hand towards, he wants the iPad. He knows where the iPad is. So here, go get that for me. Yeah.
Oh, it's kid's great.
Yeah, it's been very, very fun. So it's a cool. And so, actually, by the way, he's been riding in that Toyota Sienna, and you can see him light up too. He loves the.
He likes it, huh?
Yeah,
that's
amazing.
It a lot.
And the thing is that I drove past a RAV, and I was thinking, do I want a smaller car? But for us, we need the bigger car.
You need the bigger car.
Yeah, got that.
Well, remember it's based in the back.
Well, not only that, but we've had this 2005 Honda Odyssey, so you have to when you lift the back gate, you have to lift it manually, and you have to slam it. You have to push it down. On the Toyota, you can hold a button and it just lifts by itself, and then you push another button. If you're standing on it, you just push a button, and it goes, I'll close for you.
Yeah.
It would feel like it talks to me.
Weren't you going to say something about a 400,000 mile car?
Oh yeah, there's a car that said that they had a 400. There's a car. A listener who said, "Why did you diss the Odyssey? My 2004 EX that I use for work just hit 455,000 miles an hour ago at Western and Peterson."
Oh no way!
Yeah, little problems, but I still love
what
her.
What car is this?
A Honda Odyssey.
I need one of those.
Oh. That's what I have. I have 180,000.
Wow. There are cars that will go and go and go.
Wow.
And Toyota, Honda, Volvo, GM. They will go.
I was listening to Nick D's show, and he had Tom Appella on last week. He was talking about a driver who I think hit 1 million miles on a car. Have you ever come across someone like that?
Yes,
you have.
Yes,
and it was still running.
Yes.
What?
Wow. Yes, Volvo.
Oh, really?
When I worked at Lee Callen Imports back in the day. Yep, they used to literally want to reward these guys for having those kind of miles.
I would
cars.
Imagine.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. If you thought 1 million miles in a car or truck was pretty insane, just wait. There's a 1966 Volvo P1800 that has been driven well over 3 million miles by its sole owner, Irv Gordon. He bought the gorgeous coupe back new in 1966. So that was one. That was from 2012.
P1800 Sports Coupe. Yeah, I had one of those.
20 cars that have gone 1 million miles. There's a couple of articles that I just found.
I can't trust any of that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it just sounds crazy.
It's
yeah,
all
no.
true. It's all true.
At 100,000, my car is so what are we doing here?
Need She's shaking. You know what I mean? Trying to tell you something's off.
A million?
Oh, absolutely not.
There are cars out there that can do it.
A 1964 Porsche 356C. A native of San Pedro, California, Guy Newmark received his Porsche as a graduation present from his father in the mid-1960s. Over 50 years later, Newmark was still driving his blue Porsche when the odometer ticked over the million-mile mark.
I need receipts.
Oh,
I need physical photo receipts.
I'm going to second that right there because there's no way.
A 2007 Toyota Tundra. 2007, a Louisiana man named Vic racked up that impossible mileage count in about 9 years of driving between his home state and North Dakota. From Louisiana to North Dakota, he mixed in plenty of trips to Virginia as well, averaging about 125,000 miles a year.
Wow.
When Toyota learned about his milestone, they traded him a brand new model in exchange for his Tundra.
Wow.
A 2006 Honda Civic. Paul crossed 750,000 miles within 5 years of buying his 2006 Civic. A few years later, the Indiana man steamed past 1 million miles and kept going.
Is he an Uber driver?
Are there photos in any of these articles?
Yeah, there's photos in all of them.
A
1987 Volvo 240, which, as you mentioned, has a reputation of cars that drive forever. Seldon Cooper joined the fold in 2012 when he pushed his 87 Volvo 240 past the milestone.
Pushed it.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
Maybe the engine wasn't working.
1996 Dodge Ram.
Okay.
There you go. Edelman. He drove it to a million miles. 1988 Volvo. A couple of these are Volvos.
Yes, Volvo's a...
1989 Saab 900 SPG.
Swedish also.
And 1970 Mercedes-Benz. And this model ran 1,000,001 miles in the hands of Orange County resident George and Listella. And when Mercedes learned of this milestone, they bought a car for them as well.
Wow.
See, if you can...
Come on, Nissan. I need you to come through for me.
You got to put a couple more zeros on the end there.
I'll do it if it's going to give me a new car for free.
So you ride into New York Fashion Week next time.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
We're going to ride there, ride back, drive everywhere. I got it.
Okay.
In 1963, Albert Klein bought a Volkswagen Beetle for $1,900.
Yep.
And with imitation leather seats and a $5 outside mirror as an option, this car was not made for the long haul. However, he was determined and reported he replaced the engine 7 times, though.
Well.
On his way to the milestone of a million miles in 1987. 1.61 million miles.
Do you know how long it takes to replace an engine on that car?
How long?
An hour.
Really?
Yeah, it bolts in, bolts out. It's it's in the rear. It's a very simple exchange.
That is bizarre.
If the engine is prepared to go in.
Wow. By the way, a lot of the cars on here, a couple of Toyotas and a lot of Volvos on the Million Mile Club.
Yeah.
That's wild.
All right, bro, we're getting Volvos, okay?
I don't know. I think I'm going to stick with the Toyotas. I heard good things always with them.
Yeah. Well, especially because
Volvos aren't my thing. I'm not.
They're not attractive cars to me, but if they go a million miles, let's go.
There were a couple of Toyotas on this list. I'm just saying.
Just want to point out.
It depends on the owner also. They have to take care of their product.
Yes, that's it.
Maybe that's where I'm going wrong.
We were talking about maintenance, about the person said something about he's changing his oil every 5,000 miles.
Yeah.
Back in the day, before synthetic, it was recommended for oil to be changed every 3,000 miles.
Okay, so that's
what
where
I thought.
My problem
is. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
There
it is.
I replace the oil when I see smoke. I'm like, oh, there might be a small problem.
We're going to have a real conversation.
If you see smoke, you got a problem.
Oh, Steve wanted me to tell you that I let the Prius get down to two little lines on the gas. He's like,
it's okay. She'll go. If she breaks down, she'll call you.
More after this on 720 WTN. Honey, I'll make it home. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Warren Price wants to know how long it takes me to get home. It depends. The weather conditions have been better. Like that night that it was icy, getting on that ramp on the Ohio feeder, Ontario. There were cars sliding backwards. I'm like, the Prius just chugged along. I love that little car.
It's a great machine.
Well, thank you so much, Warren Price. Again, let people know how they can find you.
They can call me at 773-248-1200, or they can drive over to 4080 North Broadway.
And Mr. Blake Martin on social media. You got some events coming up. And what else do people need to know?
Follow me on Instagram for all my castings and events. I post every hour.
Every hour?
Yeah.
Every hour?
I'm addicted to the social media.
Do you think you can get me a job modeling?
I got you.
Okay.
Every hour?
I get you a job modeling. I just need a Volvo key. Okay. Work it out for me. I can do whatever you need.
There might not be a car to him, but I got keys.
All right, you guys negotiate off the air. We're going to turn the station over to Nick DiGilio, who's up next. Actually, Nick, check your Facebook in just a moment. I have something I need to share with you that I discovered. I feel like the investigative broadcaster at WGN Radio because I found something that Nick was looking for a few nights ago. You know you want to hear the sounds that matter, the top five at five from the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantes, weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Here with your news is Vic Vaughn.